First reading from 2 Samuel 7, 1 to 11 and 16. A reading from 2 Samuel. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be prince over my people Israel, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And evildoers shall afflict them no more, as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." The second reading is a reading from Romans 16, 25 to 27. A reading from Romans. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to your gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen."
Our gospel reading this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The Holy Gospel according to Luke. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to Mary, 'Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I am a virgin?' The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of our Lord. Our Advent readings from the Revised Common Lectionary this year have focused on teaching us how we are called to be messengers and witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. This week, we continue learning when we read about the Annunciation in the Gospel of Luke, the Annunciation of the Incarnation of Jesus Christ by the angel Gabriel to Mary. This is one of the most beloved passages in the New Testament, and I'm sure there are many reasons for this being a favorite passage for so many. But for me, it is the holiness. It is the blessings and the grace found in the ordinary. Let me explain my thoughts a little bit further. As I mentioned last week, Mary was a young teenager from Nazareth, which was a remote village far from the hustle and bustle of Jerusalem, the center of religion in ancient times. Mary was believed to be 12 to 14 years of age, and she was betrothed in marriage to Joseph, a carpenter from the lineage of David, some 10 years older than her. To be married and betrothed at 12 years of age was not uncommon in ancient times. Mary would have been considered mature and ready to live out her life as both a wife and a future mother to their children. She would have been content to live an ordinary life. She would have known little different. However, this all changed when she was visited by the angel Gabriel. Now, being visited by an angel would not have necessarily been a cause for alarm to Mary. The Jewish scriptures were full of folks being visited by angels. An angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. The angel Gabriel appeared to Daniel, giving him insights into the visions that he was having. And Gabriel also appeared to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, to tell him that he and Elizabeth would have a son after years of being childless. God used angels for centuries to proclaim God's love and trust to ordinary folks like Moses and Daniel and Zechariah, folks who were faithful. And God favors the ordinary, the unwed teenager living in a small rural village. Not a queen, not a woman of wealth or fortune in the religious center of Jerusalem. When Gabriel appears to Mary, he states that the Lord has found favor with her and that the Lord was with her. Now, Mary was a little perplexed by this greeting, and she became even more perplexed and fearful when Gabriel said that she would bear a son. This son would be called the Son of the Most High. He would reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom would have no end. When I hear this, I am reminded of the famous line from the 80s sitcom Different Strokes, when a young Arnold often says to his brother, Willis, "What you talking about, Willis?" I cannot imagine how Mary must have felt. Was she perplexed and overjoyed, questioning and excited, yet also fearful and worried for her future? You see, Mary was not married, and here she was carrying a child, yet she was still presumed to be a virgin. Would her neighbors have believed that she was a virgin? Because it certainly would have been a cause for disgrace for both her and her family, which could have even led to her being stoned to death because of her pregnancy. But Mary, being a faithful servant, was willing to face that judgment. She was willing and courageous enough to face the disdain and scorn in order to be faithful to her God. She fully and completely believed Gabriel when he said, "For nothing is impossible with God." Mary was a faithful servant of God who believed in and trusted God. When she accepted the favor of God, when she accepted the blessing of God, the world began to turn. And this turning was God breaking into the world in human form in the birth of that tiny babe lying in a manger. This baby would change the world as they knew it. And it all began with God finding favor in a young, unmarried, ordinary woman and a carpenter from the line of David who would be Jesus' earthly father. How do we in modern society view being blessed or favored? What does it mean for us to be favored by God? Do you believe that you are favored by God? So many questions that are perhaps not so easy for us to answer. In our individualistic and competitive society, it often feels like our faults are constantly being exposed. Society views being favored as working hard for what is deserved, because nothing comes for free, you know, or that one must be worthy to be favored or blessed, or even finding privilege within being favored. This is far from the favor that God found in Mary, that God finds truly in each of us. In God finding favor in us, God comes to us in love and grace and holds us in God's arms, offering us unconditional love, an acceptance of exactly who we are. Each of us are fully and completely loved, no matter our deservedness, our lot or status in life. We are loved, we are favored, and we are blessed. Let me repeat that once more. We are loved, we are favored, and we are blessed, exactly for who we are. Each of us is lifted up in God's love and grace, and this allows us to share that love with others, to risk, to reach out to one another, to forgive one another just as we have been forgiven and blessed. And knowing that we have this relationship with God through the birth of his only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, it gives us the courage to be like Mary. It gives us the courage to change the world. Maybe not the whole world, but certainly to change our world and the world of those around us. It gives us courage and faith to know that in God nothing is ever impossible. Mary's profound, deep, and courageous faith carried her through a difficult yet awe-filled pregnancy to the town of Bethlehem, where she would give birth to the Savior of the world. Mary trusted in the Lord. She was highly favored in the eyes of God for simply being exactly who she was, an ordinary young woman, a beloved child of God. May we too know that we are highly favored and that we are beloved children of God as well. May these words carry us through the darkness of the world into the radiant light and love of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that tiny babe born in a manger so many years ago. Amen. Our hymn of the day is "The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came." It is found in the ELW hymn number 265.